Today's scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 to 21. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, and they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of God.
Lord, be with your servant, Lord. Anoint and empower him, Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Have the honor of introducing Reverend Orr today. And we're thankful that he, Lord has brought his family here safely. Reverend Orr and his wife Betty are IWA workers. They've served for over 20 years, and they will go back in the field soon, and they're serving in the Middle East. We're thankful that they've been able to join us this morning. As Reverend Orr mentioned last time, it was just on Zoom, and there was no audience or congregation. But this time is a little bit more improved. I apologize that we usually have more people. Reverend Orr, thank you.
Thank you, Richie. It's great to be with you, whether you're sitting here in the sanctuary or whether you're on Zoom. Welcome to the house of the Lord and what God has to say to us today through his word. It's great to be with you. As Richie said, the last time I was asked to speak was right during the flooding, and I was expected to go to Abbotsford, but we lived in the island of Chilliwack. We had no road access to get there, so I received a phone call on Thursday, and the pastor said, can you send us a video? So I was in a dark room, just me and a camera. As Richie said, my wife and I have served for over 20 years in the field. We spent 20 years in Europe, in Poland, and our last term there, we were pastoring an international church and loving it. Oh, it was the best job you could have and still get paid for it, because it was just so much fun. We had people from 40 nations. We were seeing people come to Christ. We were seeing people baptized on almost a monthly basis. We were meeting our budget. It was wonderful. And then we were asked to go to the Middle East. And wow, what a change. But I want us to look today. I want to talk about, this is a view from a monastery not far from where we live. And we are looking over the plains of Nineveh. And if these plains are mentioned in the Old Testament prophet of Nahum, and in fact, just around that, you take this windy road down the hill, and just to the right, there's a village where there is a Jewish synagogue that holds the remains of the prophet Nahum. And this is in the middle of the Middle East, in an Arab land. Well, I want today to talk about looking forward. 2020 has not begun the way we anticipated. If we think back in 2020, we thought, oh, 2021 will be so much better. We'll be over this pandemic and life will get back to normal. And that didn't happen. We come into 2022 and we see that now with the new Omicron, it's going to probably be worse than it was in 2021. But I want to remind you and encourage you that God is still in control. We don't have to worry about that. And Isaiah wrote this prophecy to people who are discouraged. These were people, his people, the land of Judah, who had been taken by the Chaldeans and placed in exile in the land of Babylon. And these people were a long ways from home. They were mourning because things were not normal anymore. They had no way to worship in the temple. The temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. They had were questioning their whole purpose in being. God, where are you? If you're so powerful, why are we here in exile? If you are so mighty, why are we under the thumb, under the heel of the Chaldeans. What are you doing, God? And so God gave gave Isaiah these words. These words of prophecy and encouragement. And I want to break it down a little bit and encourage you this morning. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. God is reminding his people that he is going to do a new thing. You know, for many of us, we think that God is a God of creation, but that was over. You know, that's in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and then creation was done. Well, did you know that God is still creating today? He hasn't given that up, but yet he is still in the business of creating new birth and new life and transforming things in our lives to make all things new. And he wanted his people to know, guys, I'm going to do something new. This is something that you need to look forward to. Well, that's hard to do in our day and age. I want us to recognize the promise. This is a promise of God. God is not about breaking his promises. He follows through, but sometimes we don't see and understand what that's going to look like. We have visiting with us for the Christmas season our daughter and her fiance. They just got engaged in September. They live in England, and we're glad to have them here for Christmas. It's not often as a family we get together because our son lives in America, in Minneapolis, with his wife and our granddaughter. But we were able to spend time together over Christmas. And being engaged, Robbie gave Emily a ring. It's a promise. It says, we're not married yet, but there will be a day. And there's significance in the promise. If God said, I'm going to do a new thing, that means God is going to do a new thing. Are we ready? Are we waiting? For the Jews in exile, this was a word to hang on to. But one of the things about God is that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we, through centuries as humanity, we have tried to understand and guess what it is God is going to do. Well, sometimes that's pretty hard. There's another guy in the Old Testament by the name of Habakkuk. And he was living in the land of Israel, and he was looking around and seeing that the wicked were prospering and the righteous were struggling. And so he calls out to God and says, God, where are you? We're calling out to you. We're praying to you, and we don't see you. What are you going to do? Where are you? Do you exist? And God answered Habakkuk, and he said, look at the nations and observe. Be utterly astounded, for something is taking place in your days that you will not believe when you hear of it. Look, I'm rising up the Chaldeans, the bitter, impetuous nation that marches across the earth's open spaces to seize territories not its own. Sin in Israel that was unrepentant, that with the prophets reminding Israel to repent and turn back to God, was not working. So God felt and chose to chastise his people by sending the Chaldeans. These were wicked people. And Habakkuk hears this from God. He says, what? God, what are you doing? They are worse than the wicked in Israel. Why would you send them to us? But God had a plan. He used the Chaldeans to chastise his people. You see this church? This is a Chaldean church. This is something we don't hear about. But the Chaldeans are a name. If you hear somebody in the Middle East says, I'm Chaldean, they are saying, I am Christian. These are the bad guys in the Old Testament. But these are Christ followers today. God is doing a new thing. And if we don't understand it, doesn't mean that God's not doing it. It means we need to change our understanding. And we need to understand and take a look at a different perspective. See, our perspective, usually today in the 21st century, tends to focus around me. When I look out, I see forward, I see backwards, but I'm the middle of everything that's happening. And that's not the way God sees it. In this passage that we read, God tells us, don't even think of what happened before. Don't call to mind the former things. Think of new things. Who says God always has to do things the same way? I don't do that. I can preach the same sermon three times as three different messages. I don't like doing things the same way. I like doing new things. I enjoy trying things that haven't been done before. The best way to get me to do something is to say, you can't do it. Oh, yes, yes, I can. I'll prove you wrong. I like doing new things. Well, God's perspective is the same way. And we see this in the scripture. In this verse, he's not saying, don't remember what I wrote in the past, because the Bible is based on things that happened in the past, are happening in the present, and will happen in the future. But the history is important to recognize who God is. But God works different ways. So let's take, for example, Joshua. Now, Joshua was mentored by Moses himself. And when Moses was called to lead the nation of Israel, he went to Egypt, took them, and led them to the promised land. But they came to a roadblock. They had the Red Sea in front of them and the nation of Egypt, their army, behind them. So Moses called out to God, and God parted the Red Sea. And the scripture tells us that the Israelites walked through on dry land. Well, Moses served for another 40 years, and he handed over the reins and the leadership to Joshua, his protege. Joshua was preparing to take Israel into the promised land, but they had another roadblock or barrier. This was the Jordan River. Well, God's done this before, so he's going to part the waters. He did, but he did it in a different way. If you read the account in Joshua sent the Ark of the Covenant ahead, carried by the priests, and the water didn't part until the priest's foot stepped into the water. Now, can you imagine being that priest carrying the Ark, position of authority, and, well, everybody looks at you, you're leading the nation of Israel, and God said, go into the water, and you don't remember, but you've heard the stories, because you weren't around, but you heard the stories of your parents telling you how God parted the Red Seas, and it was up in banks on either side, and you're coming to the Jordan River flooding, and you're taking that step, and the water's not receding, I can't go back, there's a million people behind me, and he stepped in the water, and the water stopped. That's faith. God does things in new ways to challenge our faith. And our perspective should not be on what God did in the past. As we get older, as I get older, it's very interesting to think of how much I remember things in the past rather than the things I did recently. Over Christmas, spending time with my father, he's regaling us with stories of when he was in his 20s and in his 30s. I've never heard those stories. But as he gets older in life, he's reliving the past, and his mind is going back and thinking. And that's a natural tendency. But Isaiah and God are telling his people, don't look to the past. I'm going to do new things. Are our eyes aware and open of doing new things? Well, we were pastoring an international church in Warsaw, and we had a young man there. He was an international worker. He'd been working overseas for 13 years. And he had been working 11 of those years in this international church that I was now stepping up to lead. And I asked this young man, I said, what is your vision? What is your dream? And he says, you know, we need to have an English-speaking church right in the heart of the city. And I said, good, that's a great vision. You have 2 years. What do you mean? He said, you have 2 years to make your dream come true. But I've never preached a sermon. How can I lead a church? And he says, we will work on that. We will give you opportunities. But if this is your dream, then God will make it happen. And so this young man began developing his dream. We started an evening service. He was in charge. And this is the way God works. This is a Chinese connection. In this picture, taken in Hong Kong, this young Chinese woman married this Polish man that she met in England, and he had a Japanese language school in Warsaw. I can't understand that. But they met, and she came to our church one Sunday and said, can you care for my husband? He's not a Christ follower, but he's back here in Poland because he has cancer and he's getting treatment. So our church cared for him, and this man, with an unpronounceable name, said, you know, I have this Japanese language school right downtown in Warsaw, and I'm not using it on Sundays. You can have it for free. God provided a leader, and God provided a place and a vision. And 2 years and 3 months after I had this conversation with this young man, City Church was begun in Warsaw. And it's been going now for 6 years and going strong. It's amazing how God works. I told this young man, I says, when you will launch the second church, it's not going to be like our church. It's going to be different. Don't make a copy of what we have. Do something new. Because God loves newness. And I said, and you can take any of my leaders you want, because God will fill a vacuum with new people. Well, he took all of my guitarists. Oh my goodness, I've got 200 people coming to church on Sunday, and I don't have a single guitar in the congregation. What's going to happen? Well, we had one Sunday with no guitar. But on that Sunday, there was a young man named John Wesley, no lie, came from India, and he is a guitar teacher. And he came and he began playing regularly in our church. God filled that void. He did something new. So our focus, our perspective, needs to be on the future. Why? Why did God say that he's going to create paths in the wilderness and rivers and streams in the desert? So that the beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I've given them waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. See, there's a reason for everything that God does. And sometimes we lose sight of that. So not only do we have God's promise that we need to remember in times of difficulty, God is in control, he is sovereign, and he has a plan. And he's promised to care for us. We also have a perspective that needs to be forward focused. We need to not think about things that were in the past, but focus on what God is going to do the here and now and in the future. And we have to recognize that whatever God does, he does according to his purpose. Well, the Westminster Catechism says, it's a series of questions and answers. The question is, what is the chief end of man? What is the chief purpose of humanity? And the answer is, man's purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God's purpose is that his creation will bring him glory. And he cares for us and wants us more than anything to understand the fulfillment of our purpose, which is to glorify him. It has nothing to do with circumstances, but rather we are called to trust and to obey and to serve him with joy. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Alliance, wrote some hymns, not great hymns, but powerful words. He would take his sermons and he would put them into the lyrics of a hymn. And one of them was called Once It Was a Blessing. And the first verse says this, once it was a blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gift I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. Many times When we come to Christ, we come to him with a list of things we want. God, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And Simpson understood that it's not about what God gives us. I want him. I want the relationship, not the religion, not the rituals, but the relationship. So if God's purpose is to have his people glorify him, our purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Let me ask you this question. Do you remember your purpose? Many, many years ago, I was at a conference and we were asked to write down our life purpose. And it was a very long process and we went through a number of steps. And at that point, I wrote down my life purpose, and that has been so significant for helping me know what to do and what not to do. And my life purpose, as I wrote it and have looked at it and refined it over the years, is my purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him while encouraging and empowering others to succeed in life and ministry. Just like this young man in Warsaw, because my purpose was to empower and to encourage him to succeed, we gave him a chance to succeed. Before he started the church, his mission agency was going to take him home because he had no purpose. But once he discovered it, he became a great leader, and God used him in mighty ways. Finally, this passage ends with these words: the people whom I form for myself will declare my praise. Friends, it's all about praising God. Remembering God's promises, not promises of peace and prosperity, but of his presence. I am doing a new thing so that I can be with you. That's why we have the New Testament. Jesus came as the Messiah, born a human, so that we could have a new relationship with God, that all of the barriers to being with him were removed. When Nicodemus came and Jesus said, you must be born again, it's a new birth. It's a new way of understanding. It's a new way of moving into fellowship and relationship with God. God is about new things. And we praise God and we look back, recognizing what he's done, but anticipating new things that he's going to do. God's perspective is looking forward. God's purpose, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what he desires for us, in order that we may give him the praise. But there's a problem, and that vision, that prophecy is kind of clouded. The promise, we have the wrong idea of what God promises. We think prosperity and peace. I had a dear saint send me a link telling to a YouTube video of how we need to attack the government because they're stealing our rights and our freedoms. Under COVID, we have the right to gather together. We have the right, the right, the right, the right. Oh, what a wrong perspective. We serve with people who have lost everything they have because of genocide, because of terrorism, because of conflict. We look around the world, there are people who have nothing. We are so blessed to have rights, but those rights are not important than the responsibility we have to those around us. We look at perspective. We think God has abandoned us because now we can't gather together in a church. God hasn't abandoned us. Think of our perspective. What good is coming from this? When we think of purposes, we think often of our own purpose. When things are going good, oh, we dream and plan. We want to get this for retirement. We'll maybe get to this RV. We'll maybe move to this country or this city. We'll move and buy a new car. We're thinking about ourselves. When things are bad, we get angry at God for ignoring us, even though we were ignoring him, perhaps when things were going good. And praise. Do we offer praise to God, or are we quick to worship other people and other things? I am too old to understand Instagram and TikTok and some of these new media things. Not too old to learn. I just haven't done that yet. Maybe it's not not looking forward enough on my part. But there seems to be a whole lot of people worshiping themselves. It's not uncommon where we live, going to the shopping center, and apparently when you go down an escalator, you don't hold your phone like this, you have to take your selfie on an angle and send pictures. And the pictures are all transformed. You're made slender, all your blemishes are taken away, you have this beautiful model look. And they're sending out 3, 4, 5 times an hour to let everybody know how wonderful they are. Praise belongs to God, not to ourselves. But our vision is also clouded by sin and by our culture. Sin, when we take our focus on God, off God completely, and that gets in the way, unless we are repentant and are willing to come to God with requesting forgiveness, that sin hinders us from seeing God's purpose. And in our culture, the things that culture holds dear, we tend to hold dear as well. We're short-sighted. Well, let me encourage you with what God has done and what he is continuing to do. I want to introduce you to the church that we serve in overseas. The captivity that we read about in the time of Isaiah with the Assyrians and the Chaldeans has led to these nations becoming Christians. Where we live, if you say you're Assyrian or Chaldean, you are claiming that you are a Christ follower. Many of these are traditional people who've grown up in this and don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, but it doesn't mean that the gospel has not been preached in the Middle East. It was there before Islam. The Gulf War in Iraq, all the pain and the sorrow and all the people who died in that conflict, did you know that that was the beginning of the evangelical church? That as 2003, the church, the evangelical church, had its roots. The persecution of the church beginning in Acts chapter 7 and Stephen being martyred. That's a bad thing, but God used it for good and for new things. Because after that persecution, after that martyr, the apostles and the disciples spread. And Thomas headed towards India. And on his way, he stopped not far from where we live. And there is a village that when you translate it from Aramaic into English, is called He Touched. Thomas, who was asked, he wouldn't believe in Jesus' resurrection unless he touched his, put his finger in the hole or touched his side. Thomas came and won and shared the Assyrians into to adopt Christianity. And they say that that was the first nation to become Christian were the Assyrians. The people who are the enemies of God have now been transformed by a new working of God to be followers of Christ. Workers banned from China led to a surge in the underground church, and they say that the church in China is stronger than the church in the West. A bad thing transformed into a new thing. Medical doctors in the United Arab Emirates, way back in the 50s, opened a field hospital in the middle of the desert. Bedouins would come by, and they had a midwife and a nurse and a doctor. And this family came, and they had their child gave birth in this hospital. That child grew up to be a sheikh, head of one of the Emirates, who gave land to the church to plant a church in this Muslim nation. Friends, God is at work. This is a home church meeting in our home. These are international workers working to reach the people around us. This is only some of us. There are more workers in our region than there were in all of Poland when we were there. Persecution, we see it as a negative thing, but in God's perspective, it's good because it draws people to their knees and they look for hope and salvation in Him. We think of what's happening in Iran and the large church there. What's happening in Afghanistan now? People are coming to Christ in spite of the Taliban, in spite of persecution, but God is at work. The Chinese diaspora leads the way for churches to be planted around the world. COVID. Is this a chance for the church to wake up and do new things? Here's not far from where we live. There was a camp of displaced people, and a fire broke out. Almost 400 tents, close to 200 families were affected. And what did this do? It drew people together to come and to step in and to provide relief. Because of your giving, we have rebuilt these tents with structures made of concrete blocks. This is the church rising up to a new thing, a new opportunity to share the gospel and to demonstrate the love of Christ. This is another project we're doing where this is a Christian village, a Syrian village, and we have come alongside and we have bought them sheep. And they have 40 sheep that they use. And in the hill in the background is one of Saddam Hussein's palaces. These sheep that are supplying livelihood for five families, these sheep graze in Saddam Hussein's old garden. Didn't I read somewhere in the Bible? Old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. God's desire is to transform everything to make it serve him. This young man grew up in Mosul. And in 2014, you heard about ISIS and their rise to power and taking over a third of Syria and Iraq and setting up a Islamic caliphate. Well, this man was there right in the capital, and he recognized, growing up in a Muslim country, his Muslim background, that this is not right. And he began looking for ways to understand, where is God in the midst of this? And a friend of his who was in Finland, through his phone, through internet, led him to Christ. And he came to our church and I discipled him. But somebody in his family has ISIS ideology and thinking. And this man was afraid. So we were able to use our contacts back in Europe to get him into university, got him into a church where he has continued to be discipled. And he told me, we had a Skype call just a little while ago on Messenger, I guess it was. And he said, Don, in January, I am training to become a missionary. I am going to be serving God overseas. And it was so exciting to see the transformation in this young man. But think of the opportunity we have with COVID. Before COVID, did you guys do this? Were you online services? What about Zoom and the opportunities we have of sharing the gospel in so many new and unique ways? Where we live in the Middle East, a satellite dish costs $20 US. And with that, you get 750 channels free. Nearly half of those channels proclaim the gospel in one form or another. The gospel is moving into households in areas where we cannot send people, because God is all about a new thing. He is going to make paths in the wilderness and streams in the desert so that all creation will glorify him and that his people will declare his praise. I hope this encourages you. God is at work, not just in the Middle East where we are, but he's at work here as well. As we travel around and talk with different pastors, we're understanding that the churches that are doing well through COVID are the churches that are still reaching out, that are still actively engaging with the population around them. And we're hearing stories of people coming to Christ. Some of those are phone calls, some of those are Zoom calls where people are being led to Christ through technology. God is at work, and he is doing a new thing. Let's look together to what God is going to do in us and through us so that his people will give praise and honor to his name and glorify him forever. Amen.